Welcome to Walk in the Spirit, an expository teaching of God's Word. Walk in the Spirit is the audio outreach ministry of Pocatello Baptist Church. It is our prayer and desire that with the help of this message, we all will learn to walk in the Spirit.
So let me just get the nuts and bolts out of the way real quick, if you don't mind. Let me tell you about the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John was written by John the Apostle. Some call him John the Beloved. He was the one that we see, for example, that when you read through the Gospel of John or even any one of the Gospels, like, for example, the Last Supper, he was the disciple who was laying on the chest of the Lord at the Last Supper, who asked, "Lord, is it I?" talking about the betrayal that he was going to have. Somebody who was really close to the Lord. John was one of the younger ones of the disciples. But that doesn't necessarily mean why he was beloved. He was just, he was called the beloved one. It was written around the end of the first century A.D., so give or take, you know, 84 to 96, give or take, is when they estimate this was written. And so John at this time would have been in Ephesus. He hadn't yet been banished to the island of Patmos yet, where he would write the book of Revelation at. So he was at the church of Ephesus at this time. And why, one of the questions we should always ask when we're getting ready to study a book, is why was this book written? Well, I believe we're going to see two answers right off the bat here. The first one is the first one is answered directly for us. If you would turn to me in this book, just over to chapter 5, verse 13, John chapter 5, verse 13. The apostle says these words to us. He says, "These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that ye may know you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God." Notice that we might believe for eternal life, and once we have eternal life, continue to believe, so you would not only, if you would put it this way, that you might have the faith not only unto salvation, but you might have the assurance of that salvation, and in addition, the faith to know that your God is on your side and working for you. So that's what this book is going to be about for us. The second one, we actually find in our text this morning. Look at verse 4 of John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Verse 4, John chapter 1, verse 4, it says, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Now, I don't know about you guys, but I read that one, I get a little excited. All right? Because I'm venturing to guess there's not one of us in here who would say, "You know what I really don't like is joy. I just can't stand it when I'm happy and joyful. I just... so frustrating. I want to be a grouch all my life. I want to walk around and be mean and sullen. You know, I want to have my head down and like, life is horrible." All right? But he says right here, and he gives you a promise. We'll talk about this a little more later on. He says right here, and he gives you a promise that he's writing to you, brothers and sisters, that your joy may be full. Now, the thing I love about that word "full" in particular is it's not just like, when we think about full, like, for example, I'll eat dinner, and I'll eat a lot more than I really should, probably. And it's pretty evidence, right? I have a New Year's resolution. It's the same one I've kept all my life. I'm never making a resolution because I don't keep them. All right? So, but you know, if I was to make one, like, for example, for weight loss, let's say, for example, but I know me, I overeat. I eat too much, and I eat past my full point. You guys know what I'm talking about when I say that, don't you? When it's kind of painful, but it was good. Right? And we have to think to ourselves sometimes it's worth it. Well, the point of that kind of full, this is the kind of full we're talking about. It's not just that point where you're filled up like, "Oh, I'll be good for a while." No, you know, that not that kind. I'm talking that like you eat the whole pizza all to yourself, okay, kind of full, where it's like, I really probably shouldn't have done that, but man, was it good going down, you know. But that's the kind of full we're talking about here, just overflowing, if you can put it that way, beyond what you actually need, if I can put it that way, is exactly what he's trying to say to us. All right, so enough introduction. Let's get right into our text this morning, if you would. It says there in our text to begin this morning, it says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled, the word of life. For life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." I love this epistle. It's actually one of my favorite epistles. It's one of my favorite books to read. I tend to have the same sentiment as J. Vernon McGee. When J. Vernon McGee asked one time, whenever he's starting a new pulpit or starting at a different church, or to get the opportunity to teach for a while at a different church, what book will he take them through? And he responded without hesitation. He said, "I will always take them through the book of 1 John. Because studying through 1 John will bring about a unity to a body that may not be unified." Now, I don't teach this book this morning because I think we're not unified. I teach this book because I love the fact that it instructs us to be unified and that it will bring unity to our body. And since this year we're focusing on love one to another, I want us to focus on love is unifying. Do you understand that? I mean, you don't believe me. Any of you who have been around a large family, now I didn't come from a large family, all right? I had a lot of cousins, though, so I considered that part of my core family, you know what I'm saying? And I remember that when we go out, we were all, for the most part, raised by my Grandma Nancy. We spent a lot of time at my Grandma Nancy's house growing up. And I remember, in particular, as we were at my Grandma Nancy's house, that, you know, we would beat the snot out of each other. That wasn't a problem, all right? I mean, you know, at the boys, we were allowed to basically, matter of fact, my grandma even encouraged us to set up a boxing ring out in the corner off a couple trees, and Eli and I would get in there, and Eddie and JJ were our coaches, and we would just go fist to cuff, all right? We were boys, right? Maybe if the boys beat each other a little more, they don't respect each other a little more nowadays. I don't know. I'm just saying. All right, I'm joking. I don't want you guys to go out and beat each other up, okay? But I could get beat down, and I would be mad at the wet hen with Eli. Can't believe you. And I always end up with JJ as my coach, and Eddie was the tougher one. I don't understand, but anyway, it doesn't matter. Point being, that was fine for us. But if somebody stepped up to one of us, that love, with that hate or that discontent I had with Eli was gone like that, wasn't it? Because I'm on his side. See, that's that unity. You know what I'm saying? That love. I loved Eli, so I had a unity. You could pick on me, but you pick on him, and you're taking on both of us. You know what I'm saying? Kind of the same idea. You guys, you know what I'm saying? This is that unity that we're going to see come to us. Lord, I pray will come to us through this book. Because the point of the matter is this, is that we, as the body of Christ, be it here in our local body right here, Pocatello Baptist Church, or universal body, however you want to look at it, because of the love of Jesus Christ and because we love one to another, should have unity. It should put us in the same cause, if I can put it to you that way. And one of the things that's been lacking in the modern evangelical church for a long, 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 long time is unity. I don't have to agree with how you do church to love you. I don't have to. It doesn't make a difference to me. You don't have to agree with how I do church for you to love me. You don't have to. I don't have to agree with every decision you're going to make in your life for us to have love one to another. And that is what brings the unity, if I can put it to you that way. It's not a matter of, well, we all look alike, talk alike, dress alike, smell alike. Okay, it's not those things. What unifies us is this. The Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where real unity comes. Because there's a lot of churches that are unifying just for the sake of, well, can't we all just get along? Well, I hate to say it, there are some churches I can't get along with. Why? Because they're teaching heresy. They're teaching heretical doctrines. I can't unify with that. I'm not taking away their salvation, don't get me wrong. And if somebody would have to question whether or not that person is saved, I'd say, that's not yours to question. But I will tell you this much, if they're teaching heretical doctrine, I have a real hard time standing up and going, yeah, well, we're unifying over the Lord Jesus Christ, because it's pretty black and white, guys. Right? I mean, we don't have to sit there and go, well, and I'll be honest with you, I don't even have this in my notes. A little bit of a pet peeve for me. I don't like when people are like, well, we have to understand what was happening in the world at that time. Why? I mean, why? I'm being honest, why? Because the Bible, it says it's a living word, and it says it's relevant no matter what time I'm going to live in. So if the Bible is relevant and it's true no matter what season or what era or whatever time I live in, if this is truth, which we know it to be truth, and if you don't know it to be truth yet, challenge it. Find out whether or not it is, okay? Because it is. All right? Yes, I did say that. Challenge the Word of God. If you don't believe the Word of God is true, then you need to challenge it. Read it. First of all, I have a hard time doing it. I don't believe the Bible because there's so many errors in it. Really? What part? Well, I don't know. I just heard there's a lot of errors in it. Which one did you read? Well, I haven't read the Bible. Oh. Well, then we know where the problem lies, don't we? But that being the case, all right, if this is what can unify us, if this is truth, then if we're all sitting here reading the same Bible, now I'm not saying we're all going to be the same church. I believe there should be different churches. Yes. I believe in Pocatello, Idaho, there should be more churches than Pocatello Baptist Church. You know why? Because I am not going to reach everybody. You can't reach everybody. There are some churches that need to exist to help reach people. I mean, honestly, there's ministries that are ministering and reaching to people that I can't. Not because I don't love them and not because I don't want to share with them the truth of the Word of God, but for whatever reason, they have a hard time with me. Maybe it's because I'm so good looking. All right? But honestly, you know, I get that, and that's okay. Some people don't want to fellowship here because we sing hymns. I'm okay with that, too. I know that sounds crazy to say. I'm okay with that. That doesn't mean I can't unify with you in the love of Jesus Christ and totally understand who you are and love you. And nonetheless, whether you sing modern contemporary worship praise bands or you sing the hymns, it makes no difference to me. But are we unified over the Word of God? And when that starts to get heretical, that's when we need to separate. And that's what the doctrines are all about and what the love of Jesus Christ is all about. Because if I love you, I'm going to tell you when you're in error, aren't I? I mean, we understand that in the simplicity of things in life, don't we? My child is wrong. He thinks that he can fly. So he climbs up on the roof, starts flapping his arms, gets ready to jump. What do you think I should do? Well, if you believe it. I mean, isn't that how some of us act, though? But the Bible clearly says this, and they go, yeah, well, I don't think it really means that. Oh? Okay, well, let's read it again. Well, tell me what part you're not believing. Well, that just doesn't fit with my beliefs. Oh, so you're God. All right, enough on that trail. I love this epistle. I love this epistle because of the challenge we're issuing to ourselves this year, that John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. Who better to learn about love one to another than the beloved apostle, the Lord Jesus Christ, apostle, the one who sat on his breast. This is the man who I want to learn this from. Now, many of you have heard my testimony of salvation, but if I was to say the one thing that made the biggest difference in those two Goombas who picked me up on the streets of Las Vegas and that helped to ultimately lead me to the Lord Jesus Christ, it wasn't because of the Bible that they thumped me over, or because they're all wearing suits and ties. I don't even remember what they're dressed like, honestly. It wasn't those things. Those didn't make a difference in my life. What made a difference, simply stated, if I can put it to you this way, is that the gospel of Jesus Christ was displayed to me through them. What is that gospel? Good news. Jesus Christ died for you because he loves you. He was buried and rose again on the third day, and this he did that you might be set free from your sin because he loved you. And if I can put it to you this way, you want to know what ultimately drew me? Well, the fact that these two complete strangers, I've never seen them again. I have no clue who they were. But these two complete strangers loved me enough to pick me up, take me to breakfast, give me a little bit of money for shoes, and take me home. And that was it. That was it. And if I can put it to you, what I'd say is this. Why that appealed to me so much is because I had never seen love on display like that before. What did they get from it? They got to stay up later to take a drunk to breakfast in hopes of somewhat sobering him up so they could share the gospel, I assume, but that never happened. They got to give me money. What did they gain from it? Well, we're going to discuss what they gained this morning. And I think it really starts here in verse 1. It says, in our verse, says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. Now, we know this clearly speaking about the apostles' testimony of when Jesus Christ, the word of life, God of all creation, took on flesh, became a man, and walked among us. We only need to look at the beginning of this apostle's gospel of John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, where we read these words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in the darkness, and darkness comprehended it not. And I'm going to be honest with you. That's one of the things that happened in my life that night. The light shone into my life, and I could not comprehend why these men would be like that. And then we could jump down to verse 11 of that same passage there in the Gospel of John, verse 11 through 14. It says, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many received Him, to them He gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So if I can put it to you this way, what happened that night for me in particular was I got to see on display Jesus Christ. That's what I saw. Now, He didn't look like the Sunday school Jesus Christ, I'm going to be honest with you. I told you they're two Goombas. They had these big, thick, new, you know what I'm talking about. Well, you got Ross full of brain or something? Forget about it. Right? Well, you nuts. Okay, these were these guys. Now, imagine those voices saying, oh, praise Jesus. Right? Well, God bless you. Praise Jesus. And that's all I can remember. But what they did is they displayed Jesus Christ to me. They displayed that Word of life to me. They showed it to me through themselves. Does that make sense? I got to see it. See, the question I'd ask us this morning, have you seen Jesus? Now, I don't want to get too woo here this morning. But I'm going to tell you right now that if you've been a Christian more than a day and you haven't seen Jesus, there's a problem. Because I'm willing to bet that you've looked in the mirror at least once. Ooh, dang, he went there. Yes, I did. Because here's the point. I have to recognize, am I being Jesus? Am I displaying Jesus to the world? Am I, and now I'm not sitting here like I want to walk around with, you know, I'm assuming because of the tote, with one tunic or things of that nature. I'm not saying those things, guys. But what I'm saying is, do you look like your Savior? Do you display the love of your Savior when you go out? Or would people describe you, and actually it's funny, I was talking to somebody this last week, and they said, you know, one of the things that drives him nuts is that, you know, he's a Christian now, praise be to God. But he said, I used to get so mad at the Christian fish. And I'm like, what? And he goes, yeah, I used to call them the fish Christians. And I'm like, the fish Christians? What do you mean? He's like, you know, the ones that have the little fish symbol on the back of their car. I'm like, why would you get so mad at that? He goes, because they were the ones that were the worst drivers. And he's like, I was like, you know, I'm running late for work too. What gives you the right to cut me off? You know, I'm having a hard time too here. Why do you get to speed? Why do you get to fly by me on dangerous roads like there's no problem? Because you got a fish on the back of your car? And he said he had a hard time with fish Christians, and then he finally became one. And he says he thinks about that all the time. And he thinks, I've got to display Christ even through my driving. I've got to show Christ no matter what I'm doing. And so the point of the matter is this, is as the apostle says here, to continue to clarify this idea here, guys, is he's telling us, listen to us, look at verses 2 and 3 now together, if you would, verses 2 and 3. He says, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life. I'm paused there for a second. Listen to those words. I show unto you that eternal life. Now, I don't get to take them to heaven and show them what it's going to be like, do I? I don't have that opportunity. If the Lord gives me that opportunity, I'll take us all, I promise. Okay? But he's saying we should be able to show unto them the eternal life. And then he says, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. Listen to what the apostle just said. He said, that which we have, eternal life, ought to show through us and be declared to those through us. In other words, and you guys have heard me say this if I've said it once, but here's the point. You're the gospel. You're the testimony of Jesus Christ. Don't get me wrong, I love it when people want to talk about the Word of God who are unbelievers and they want to sit down and go through the Bible. I love that. And I look forward to those opportunities. But you're the gospel at all times. You're the testimony of Jesus Christ at all times. You're either showing and declaring Christ, or you're showing and declaring what Christ isn't. And this is the challenge he has for us, is if we're going to love one to another, then we should be showing that gospel, showing that love, showing our discipleship all the time. Not just when it's convenient for us, not just on Sunday mornings when we're around all other brothers and sisters in Christ, and, well, we don't want them to think that we're that bad. If there's one thing the church should be full of, it's a bunch of genuine Christians. You know what I'm saying by that? Guys, I have bad days. I know, it's hard to believe, huh? Okay, I have bad days. I have days when I'm grouchy too. I have days when I didn't get enough sleep. I have days when I don't feel 100%. But those days don't give me the excuse to stop being a Christian, displaying it and showing it forth. Because that's what I'm called to. Each and every one of us are called to that. And when you do make the mistake, I'm going to tell you, and she's not here, but she wouldn't mind if I shared this story with you. So we, one time, with Chandra's medical condition, we weren't able to get her medical care for a long time. And so we had to pay everything for her out of pocket. And they have this benefit, for lack of better terms, most medical places, that if you'll call up and pay the bill in its entirety, they'll give you a discount. All right, rather than making payments over time. And so we did this. We called up Chandra, and well, I shouldn't say we. Chandra, she's such a blessing to me. She takes care of all of our budget stuff. But Chandra called one time to a medical place, and she's like, hey, I want to pay this bill in its entirety. Can I get a discount on this? And the lady's like, no. And she's like, well, most places, if I call and I offer to pay all the bill at once, they'll give me a discount. You know, I mean, whatever it is. I mean, I don't know about you guys. I'm not so wealthy that $10 doesn't mean that much to me. You know what I'm saying? Okay? And she's like, can I get a discount? No. And Chandra, she said, she just lost it. It'd been one of those days. She was so mean and vicious to this woman on the phone, right? I don't know if you've ever been around my wife when she can take her church hat off. All right? But dang. I've been on the receiving end of that a couple times, believe it or not. Okay? But she took her church hat off for a minute, and she went all off on this woman on the phone. Right? And then they end up hanging up, and Chandra, and like, she was mad. And it just happened to be right for my lunch hour. I came home for lunch from my previous employment, and I came home for lunch, and I walk into Chandra. I'm like, you know, you guys, you know what I'm talking about. Right? When you walk in the room, and you know, okay, somebody's in trouble. I hope it's not me. Right? Okay, and so I walked into the house, and I see that look on my wife's face that makes you go, right? You know, that real mannequin man kind of thing, and it's not moving at all. And so, and my wife's like, you are not going to believe what phone call I just had to deal with. Oh, thank God it's not me. What was it, honey? I called that medical bill, and I asked them if we paid it all at once, if they could give me a discount. I'm like, okay. She said they couldn't. And I said, okay. And she goes, so I told her, fine, I'm going to give it to you $10 a month for the rest of my life. You're in charge. I knew better than stepping that one at that moment, right? Okay. You're in charge, honey, whatever you think best. And we sat at lunch, and then she's like, she just sat there, and I watched this just visible change go over my wife, and she's like, honey. And I'm like, what? She's like, I got to call that lady back. And I'm like, oh? She goes, yes, I'm going to pay the bill. And I said, oh, I think that's probably the right thing to do. We have the money, and there's no sense in just drawing this out and stuff like this. Just pay it off. That's fine. She's like, okay. So she calls back the lady, and she gets somebody else, and she asks for the lady who she's spoken to. And she's like, I need to speak to so-and-so. And so she goes, I'm sure you remember me. I'm the lady who just yelled at you a bunch on the phone and was just really a jerk and blah, 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 and stuff like this. And she goes on and starts to confess her sin. She's like, I'm sorry. She goes, I am trying my best to live a Christian life, and I did not display Christ at all on the phone with you. And I am so sorry. Know that Jesus Christ loves you. I don't hold anything against you. You're just doing your job. I would like to pay my bill in its entirety if I could. Now, can you imagine what it would take to do that? I'm proud of my wife for doing so. When you wrong somebody and you're not showing Christ and displaying Christ, what are you doing about it? You just act like, well, they'll figure it out. They know they were wrong. See, it doesn't matter whether they were wrong or right. You were wrong in the reactions, right? Or how you behaved. And so the point was, so she did, by the way, because we have a big God, right? Turns out this lady's a believer too. She was having a bad day. They started talking about Jesus Christ. By the end of the phone call, she'd given us 20% off our bill. All right? Okay? And because basically she said, hey, I'm supposed to try my hardest to get you guys to pay the entire amount no matter what. That's my job. And she's like, but I can hear that you honestly just really can't afford to pay that much money, and that's okay. So let's just give you some discounts as much as I can. And she did. Point being, guys, is we are always showing and displaying our eternal life. Do you realize that? Those of us who claim to be Christian, and I'll be honest, if you want to be an absolute, what's the right word? I can only come up with one, and it's probably not a good word, but if you want to be an absolute jerk in your life and how you deal with people, just do us a favor, and by us, I mean the church, quit telling people you're a Christian. I'm being serious. Quit telling them you're a Christian. Take the fish off your car, all right? Give it to somebody who can use it. Actually, they don't re-stick, so don't bother, okay? But the point is this, is we should be showing and displaying Jesus Christ, our eternal life, all the time. So should we have seen Jesus Christ? Well, I hope so. As a matter of fact, listen to, well, go ahead and turn over there. We have time. Turn over to me to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Listen to what the Apostle Peter has to say about us, brothers and sisters. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. It says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into this marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now a people of God, which have obtained mercy, but now had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. There it is again. Show forth that ye are that people. You are Christians. Show it forth that you are his peculiar people. You are the chosen of God. You are the children of God. Show it forth. The people who are going to show forth the gospel is the point. He wants us to show that forth. And I love that he calls us a peculiar people there. Now, we think of the word peculiar and we think strange, don't we? But peculiar simply means set apart is another idea of saying that. It means to be a group that's something different. Those who are being held back is actually the idea behind it. Held off into a different group. Okay? And so the point is this. We should be looking and behaving differently. We should be a set apart kind of group. If you in your life don't look like, act like, and talk like you're different than the rest of the world, then how do you know you are? Well, I trusted in Jesus Christ as my Savior. Well, if you trusted in Jesus Christ, your Savior, and I believe that you did, I can only take your testimony as truth. If you say that you did, then guess what dwells in you? God, the Holy Spirit. Which now means that you can behave like that. You're just choosing not to. See, the world can't. You realize that, right? Those who don't know Jesus Christ can't behave like Christians. They can pretend for a really long time. But only you can show forth the gospel. Why? Because it's in you and it should come out. That is the point. As you continue on, you're still there. Continuing reading on now, verse 11. He says, dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, how are we going to show this forth? As strangers and pilgrims, we're going to abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest amongst the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. So how do we show forth that gospel? Well, simply put, quit living like the world. Pretty simple, huh? That's really what it says. Start living like a Christian. Start living like Christ would have lived. Start behaving like he would live. And look at how it says there, that your conversation, abstain from the worldly things, have your behavior, that's what that idea of conversation is, virtuous, so that they may see your behavior, your conversation, and come to the knowledge of the Savior, which is what our text this morning is instructing us in, isn't it? That we can show forth Jesus Christ. Turn back to our text now. Listen to verse 3. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So why would we desire to behave like Christians? Not only is it healthy for us, okay? I'll be honest with you. Many of you know my testimony. I tried what the world had to offer. And I have this, pipe dream. I don't know what the right word is. I have this kind of idea that I wish, and I know many of you could probably have the same testimony. I wish that I could take every young person before they get out of their parents' house. I wish I could take them for a day, maybe a couple days, and inject them into my life before Jesus Christ. When I was living on the streets of Las Vegas and homeless, I wish I could put them in there for a couple days so they could actually see what it's about and what the world has to offer. So they could know what it actually feels like to be so out of control of your life and have no hope for the future, so to speak. I really wish I could do that. I can't. I really wish they would listen when we tell them those things, don't you? Some people have to go out and try it. Okay. It breaks my heart. Some people do. Can't do anything about it. But I can tell you this much. Since the day the Lord came into me, I never wanted to display anything but the love of Jesus Christ to everyone around me. Now, I haven't always done it. I'm not perfect. But because Jesus loved me so much, I want others to know how much that love means and what it's really like. I don't want, well, he's such a pious and righteous man. That doesn't matter to me. I'd rather the world, at the end of my life, if the world can give one testimony of me, I would want the world to say, well, you know what? He loved everyone. Because that love ultimately is what's going to drive them into the arms of Jesus Christ, our Savior. When I show them that love, I declare to them that love. I show them that gospel. I declare to them that gospel. That's ultimately the only thing that's going to bring them to the salvation of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's not me beating over the head with a bunch of different verses. Those Facebook people out there who are writing, well, here's our daily verse for you all. Now, I'm not upset that you're doing that, but are you displaying that in your life? When you write that on your Facebook page, do you go out and behave like that? Because I've seen some of those people who put good, beautiful Facebook posts up about the Word of God and what it means. That's awesome. And then I'll see them later on, and they're just this sullen, grouchy, backbiting, whispering slanderers. And you wanted me to go, what? Oh, well, don't pay attention to me. Look at the Facebook page. Oh. Duh. Should have hit me right off the bat. I mean, we are to what? Have that conversation so that we can help to bring them. We should have that behavior, that life. We should be showing and declaring the gospel of Jesus Christ in the way that we live. Why? That they might, by us, see our Savior and come into fellowship with us. That's what he says there at the end of that verse. He says that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. My goal is to not necessarily just so that they can go, oh, well, look how good he was. My goal is so that they can come to my Savior and have that sweet fellowship, that true unity with me that we can only have through the Spirit of God. I mean, I love some of my family members, and I'm very close to some of my family members, but some of them are unbelievers, and I'm going to be honest with you, I'm closer to some of you than I am to my own family. Why? Because the unity of the Spirit of God within us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship with the Father, with the Son, Jesus Christ. Paul said it this way. I'm just going to read this to you in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. I don't have a slide for this, so just listen up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 19 through 20. Listen to what the Apostle Paul had to say about this. It says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and our joy. Paul understood that the greatest thing that he could have in his life is that others would come to know Jesus Christ because of him. That's it. My desire is that others would see Jesus Christ displayed through me, and I hope that's your prayer and your desire as well. I hope that you're behaving in a way and living in a way that people would go, they're a Christian. If Jesus is like that, that's what I want. And we know that Jesus is not just like us. He's so much more, isn't he? He's so much more. Me, on my best day, would never even come close to scratching the surface of the love of Jesus Christ. But we should be trying and striving for that, that they their fellowship may be with us. We desire them to have fellowship with us. That is why we need to live a life and live our life in a manner that they may see Jesus in us. So I'm gonna say this to you one more time. I'm going to read to you a poem real quick. Have you seen Jesus? And I hope the answer you can honestly give is yes. I saw it in my brother and my sister. I saw it in them. Now, it'd be kind of arrogant to say, yeah, I see Jesus when I look in the mirror. I get that. All right? But I hope that you can say, I've seen it in others. And I've seen what they're like. And then pray, Lord, let them see it in me. Let me be that testimony. I want to read to you a poem now by Lance Landau. It says, yes, I saw Jesus today. He was walking close beside someone, and their clothes looked tatty and their hair disheveled, the kind that some shun. He was smiling and chatting and offering them a helping hand, taking an interest in them while for others his eyes still scanned. Yes, I saw my Savior today. He was comforting someone who had tears in their eyes, tears that had far from just begun. He had his loving arm around them and had tears in his eyes too. And I am sure that I heard him say, I understand, I've been hurt too. Yes, I saw Jesus today. He was carrying a bag or two, and they were laden down with food for some other necessities too. He approached a run-down house, was clutching his wallet as well, and I saw him empty his wallet before he rang the doorbell. Yes, I saw my Savior today, a wounded sparrow in his hand, for it was holding up a wing damaged as it had tried to land. There was sadness on his face as he held it delicately. And then I saw him take that bird home, tending it most lovingly. Yes, I saw Jesus today, and a smile that kindly came my way, and words of encouragement that some sensitive soul sought to say, and in a gentle touch and a warm embrace and in a little gift, all of which acted like healing balm, saw my sagging spirits lift. Yes, I saw my Savior today, dicing with death, and a big bus. I'm being attempted to save someone, such reminding me of us. For I thought of how we oft wander from the straight and narrow way, and how Christ tries to save us from those forces that seek to slay. Yes, I saw Jesus today. He was helping, caring, saving too, working via humanity, for such my Lord has chosen to do. For that way we become just like him, a reflection Christ on view. Therefore, it was Jesus I saw lovingly working through you. Now, we're not finished yet, though. Turn back. You're still in our text. We're going to close out this morning now. And I hope that we all desire to go out and be Jesus. All right? You guys know what I mean when I say that. Okay? Don't take that out of context. Go out and display Jesus Christ through your life. Let the world hear him and see him. Show him forth and declare him. And all this we would do for one very important point. John chapter 1, verse 4 says these words to us. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. I told you I love this epistle. And one of the reasons why I love this epistle so much is because of the promise we just read in that text. And it comes on the heels of saying, if I go out and live like and display and show forth Jesus Christ, my joy will be full. Now, joy has nothing to do with external circumstances. There are times when it hurts to open my wallet and give to somebody in need. There are times when it hurts to have to do something for somebody else when I'm tired. There are times when it frustrates me to have to continue to pour and pour and pour myself into people who don't seem to ever want to pour back. There are times like that in our lives, guys. But that doesn't mean that I'm not joyous. Why? Because my joy is not dependent upon the external circumstances. It's the eternal position. And ultimately, it's because my Savior loved me enough that he wants me now to live in a manner that would glorify him. And in doing so, I have joy. It was written that your joy may be full. And again, who among us would not desire to have our be full of joy? The feeling begins when we understand that we have seen him, and now we will show him.
Thank you for studying God's Word with us on Walk in the Spirit. To hear more of this or other portions of Scripture, please visit www.PocatelloBaptistChurch.com or you can write us at 190 West Chapel Road, Pocatello, Idaho, 83201. If you live in or are visiting Southeast Idaho, we would like to have you join us here at Pocatello Baptist Church for any of our services. Our service times begin with Sunday school at 9 a.m., Sunday worship at 10 a.m., and Sunday evening study at 5 p.m. We have a midweek study and prayer service for both adults and youth on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Child care is available for all of our services. For more information or directions, please call us at 208-237-4915. Until next time, God bless you as you walk in the Spirit.